just like for a few moments, and we'll only be brief, I'd like to give more time for prayer. Just notice verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? And how we need to take comfort in those words and be often reminded of them in these days in which we live. Consider the Lord your God, our God. He's so great, he is so mighty, and he is with us. And Hezekiah recognized these things here. Notice verse 7 at the end. For with there be more with us than with him. For with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Dear brethren, take comfort tonight. The Lord is on our side. We have many a powerful foe, but God, who is infinite in power, stands ready to help us. Now in 701 BC, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, invaded Judah. And here in view of Sennacherib, King Hezekiah not only fortified Jerusalem, but also to sought to encourage the people. Turn with me again to verse 6. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying. Without any further introduction, I want to be brief. I'd just like us to consider three things here tonight. First of all, our foes. Secondly, our God. Thirdly, our rest. Noticing the end of verse 8. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. First of all, our foes. Notice what Hezekiah says in verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh. When we think of the arm, we think of strength. We read here of the arm of flesh, and therefore we think of human power, particularly the army of Sennacherib. Sennacherib was strong, for he had a great army with which he invaded Judah. With him is an arm of flesh, strong, mighty. And dear brethren, we have many a foe. We have mighty foes which have risen up against us. There are many in this nation that oppose Christ and his people. Consider that Satan has many under his tyranny who fights against us. And then as we look to other nations of the world, we particularly observe the persecution that so many Christians face in the Middle East, in Pakistan, in many other places. Such persecution. Our foes are many and our foes are fierce. There is the arm of flesh. Many are under the tyranny of Satan. Many are going forth and causing great harm to the people of God. And then consider back in this country, we have certain politicians working against the church. They're in places of influence and they hate Christ. And that's a very dangerous thing, to have men in places of influence who hate Christ. And because there's so many of them, we're not surprised at what we see here in this nation. They oppose Christ, they oppose the church. And then coming a little nearer to home, there's many around our congregations who oppose the church. We have many a foe. Consider again Satan, the great enemy of the church. He hates us, and though limited, he is strong. And he has many who go forth who are in his kingdom. He fires his darts. He seeks to stir trouble. We have our foes. You remember David? He made often known his complaint to the Lord in view of his enemies. One psalm particularly is Psalm 56, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for there be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God will I praise his word, in God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. He thinks of so many that were around him, watching, lurking, ready to trip him up. And we have so many enemies around us who are watching us, seeking to trip us up. There is the arm of flesh. With him is an arm of flesh. We think of Sennacherib and his mighty army, where there are so many who are under Satan's tyranny. With him is an arm of flesh. But note those words again. With him is an arm of flesh. And in verse 8, we're considering a great contrast. And so when we think of the arm of flesh, we think of strength, but then we're also led to consider limitation and weakness. It's the contrast here between Sennacherib and his army and the Lord our God. So though there was strength, there's also limitation and weakness. Think of one's strength. Men can only do so much, and their strength fades. A man one day may be able to pick up a sack of corn, but the next day not able to move. He's pulled a muscle. One day he can lift something, but the next he cannot. There's limitation. There's weakness. And then consider as the years pass, many are not able to do what they once could do. Now, I saw the other day a certain lady, she's 100, and she's just swam a mile. Well, I can't do that. I used to, but well, some can do great things when they're older. But for many, strength fades. There's limitations. Strength fails. There's the frailty of the flesh. Brethren, we need to remember this. With him is an arm of flesh, yes, strong. Our enemies are strong, but there's limitation and there's weakness. And in comparison to God, they are nothing. Note verse 7, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. For with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. So our foes, let's consider now secondly our God. Remember, we're thinking of a great contrast, as did Hezekiah. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. Think of all in this country that oppose Christ. We have God, and therefore we are the mighty force in this nation, because the Lord is with us. They cannot extinguish the church. They tried to in times past, but they cannot, because God is with us, our God. Sennacherib had a large army, but God was with his people. And dear brethren, there's many who oppose us, but remember this still, God is with us. We're on the side of victory then. Even though we see so much around us that causes us great harm, though we know much hard toil in the battle, we are on the victor's side. Dear brethren, the Lord of God, the Lord our God, is with us. He's given himself over to us. Amazing words in Exodus 20. I am the Lord thy God. And what grace. It's interesting there, isn't it? We have the Ten Commandments. But before the Ten Commandments were given, there was a word concerning the grace of God. I am the Lord thy God. And how amazing. He's given himself over to us to be our God. He's on our side. What amazing grace. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 18, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I will be their God. Verse 18 of that chapter. "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." I will. He's promised to be our God. He's promised to be on our side. Come what may, we have God on our side. We have foes on every side. However, we have God, who has an arm of might. Psalm 89, verse 13, "Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand." And do not we see the evidence of it even today? Because the Lord's people are still in this country. Though we're oppressed, though we have many a foe, we're still here. And the church will continue, because we have an almighty God. He is so strong. He is infinite in power. Consider his power in creation. We often think of that here in this place. What a lovely place of the countryside this is. And we think of creation. What power in creation. Then in providence and in redemption. The psalmist said in Psalm 62 verse 11, "God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." The God of infinite power is with us, dear brethren. The strength of our foes is as nothing compared with God. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord will lead us on. And the Lord will lead his people on to victory. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's on our side and he is there to help us. We feel our weakness in these days. We feel our frailty. We feel our smallness. We feel our sin. However, God is a God of mercy and he will help us. He looks on in mercy. And despite our sin, our failings, he will help us. He will come to our aid. Remember again the prayer of Asa in view of that large army that had come upon him. 2 Chronicles 14 verse 11. "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God." His power is so great, and so is his mercy. He is able to help, and numbers do not matter to him. You know, we live in a country, and some are taken in with this, aren't they? It's all about numbers. Numbers do not matter with God. What do we read there? "It is nothing with thee to help, whether we've many or if them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God." We feel so small. We feel we're small congregations compared to the days of Spurgeon. I often think of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. It's a large congregation in these days, isn't it? But it's so small compared to Spurgeon's day. And we feel our smallness. It matters not with God. It matters not. God is able to use a small congregation as well as a large congregation. "Whether we have many or with them that have no power, help us, O Lord, our God." He's able to help. Numbers matter not. And he is there to help us. And all that matters, isn't it, that we have God. And we have God. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. There's battles in front of us. Take comfort. God leads us forward into battle. With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Remember these words. He is there to help us. He will support us. And in time bring deliverance. We look for deliverance. We look for a better day. In the meanwhile, there is his strengthening grace. And it is sufficient to hold us in these days, to help us go forward. He will help us. We'll cry out to him tonight. Earnestly plead with him, for we are in need. But as we do earnestly pray, remember he is so great, and he is on our side. And he's in the midst to help us. It's not far away, the help we need, is it? Psalm 46, verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Dear brethren, take comfort tonight. He's in the very midst. He's with us here. He's in the midst of our congregations. Help is not far away. And how he delights to see his children, seeing their need and crying to him for mercy. Our God, and we can take great comfort tonight in the Lord our God. Well, thirdly and finally, our rest. Notice the end of verse 8. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They rested, or in the Hebrew it can be translated, they leaned. It means to lean upon, to stay upon. Being impressed with these words on their hearts, they took hold of them and they rested in them. They particularly leaned on God. They thought of what Hezekiah had said. Now these were words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Dear brethren, rest yourselves upon these words and upon God. Trust God and his word. You know, doubts can come. We have our fears. We feel our smallness. We feel our frailty. Our enemies are mighty. Lean on these words. It's experimental, isn't it? We can think of them, rest in them, and rest in your God. There's much to disturb our hearts. Look to his word. Believe his word. Lean upon his word. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. Lean on him, on his word. Look up to him. Rest yourselves upon the Lord your God. We have many a foe. We feel our smallness. God invites us to lean upon him and his word. Rest in your covenant God. Rest in your great shepherd. Believe him. No, Satan will fire his darts. There be doubts in our hearts. Believe the Lord. Believe his word. You recall in Mark 5 verse 39, our Lord had a word for Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, whose daughter had died. What was it? Be not afraid, only believe. That was the word. Believe his word. Trust him. Rest in the Lord. Take comfort. Take comfort that the Lord is our God and he is there to help us. We are assured of help as the people of God in this nation. Rest in those things. Rest in him. Take comfort. Psalm 94 verse 19. These are lovely words. In the multitudes of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Rest on the Lord and his word. Be comforted in his word. Now in closing, remember those words of King Asa again. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. We rest on thee. We consider God tonight. He's on our side. What are we to do now in prayer? What are we to do as we go forward into the battle? We're to rest on the Lord and his word. Rest on God. And as you come to prayer, as you bring the concerns we have, show to God you're resting on him. You know, it's a great delight to the Lord to see his people resting on him, resting in his word. Show to God you're resting in him, that you're leaving it all to him, that you're trusting him, that you believe what he has said in his word. All to show to God more often, in all the situations we face, that we are resting in him. Well, we think of those words there of Asaph. For we rest on thee. He spoke on behalf of others. And let's collectively show to the Lord that we are resting in him. He's our mighty God. He's with us. Note again verse 8 of this chapter. For with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The foes were all around them, but the people were resting. And it's my prayer that tonight and in days to come, we might show to others that we are resting in the Lord. We're in expectation of great things, because we believe in him who is of infinite power and who will lead us forth to victory. Amen.
Amen.
If you would turn with me to our final psalm, Psalm 90. We're singing from verse 13 to the end. Turn yet again to us, O Lord, how long thus shall it be? And we note those words there, how long? And we do have warrant to say that to the Lord, because these are the words of the psalm. How long thus shall it be? Let it repent thee now for those thy servants that servants are to thee. O, with thy tender mercies, Lord, us early satisfy, so we rejoice shall all our days and still be glad in thee. According as the days have been wherein we grief have had, and years wherein we ill have seen, so do make us glad. There's been much to cause us grief in these days. May these days give way to days of joy, days of refreshing from the Lord on high. And we can be encouraged in these things, because when we look at history, often days of blessing have followed days of discouragement. We know the days of discouragement, so we're in expectation then, aren't we, of days of blessing. And may the Lord soon hear our prayers and answer them in this way. O, let thy work and power appear thy servant's face before, and show unto thy children dear thy glory evermore. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be on us upon our handiworks. Establish thou, establish them each one. The tune is Contemplation. We're singing from verse 13 to the end. Turn yet again to us, O Lord, how long thus shall it be?
Turn yet again to us, O Lord.
Turn yet again to us, O Lord. How long thus shall it be? Let it now, O those that
Turn us, our eyes are upon thee, O Lord. Lord, we have gathered for prayer, and we thank thee for this opportunity. But Lord, it is thou that must work, and we will pray, O Lord, how long? We pray, look down on us, remember us as individuals, remember us as thy people, the congregations represented here and further afield. Remember us, O Lord. May there be days of such gladness and days of refreshing. O Lord, as we sung those words, we have seen much grief in these days. Lord, may these days of grief give way to days of gladness and joy, O Lord. May we know these things. May we yet look back on these days, that these were the difficult days, but now we are in days of blessing. Lord, remember us. Here in the south of England, remember the congregations. Remember us as a people, as a whole here in the south. We come together as thy people from like-minded congregations. Remember us, O Lord, and turn us again here in the south of England. And may we be such a beacon here in the south, O Lord, that people in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world would take note of a great work being done here in this part of this country. Lord, remember us. We would pray with Nehemiah of old. Remember us, O God, for good. Show forth thy hand, we pray. Be merciful to us, O Lord. Bless all the congregations represented here tonight. We pray for thy blessing upon each one of them. And may we all know encouragement. May we all know conversions. May we all know baptisms. May we all know thy presence in such a way that we can all say in our congregations, thou didst so come in our midst, and there was such a sense of thee that it lingered on into the week in our hearts, O Lord. We do pray for other congregations. We pray for the brethren and devisors. We do pray for thy servant, the Reverend Thomas Yates, O Lord, be with him. And we pray that thy blessing would rest on that service tomorrow. And we pray not only tomorrow, but on thy day and in future days. And we pray for that church and devices, that it would know much of thy hand of blessing. And what we have prayed for ourselves tonight, we pray for that congregation, O Lord, that they would know such blessing and such a sense of thee in their midst. O Lord, hear our prayers. We thank thee for the food that has been prepared by the ladies. We thank thee for them, and we thank thee for the food that thou hast provided for us, for which we give thanks. O Lord, hear our prayers. We thank thee for this time of prayer. And if it please thee, O Lord, before we gather in such a way again, that thou would visit our congregations, thou would visit our land, that we would see great things happening. Lord, we would say again with the psalmist, how long? And with the psalmist we would say, make haste, O Lord. And we believe we can say that because it's in thy word. And we say it with care. We say it with reverence in our hearts. Make haste, O Lord, to help us. And thine be all the glory. That is what we pray for above all things. Even in these days of small things, as in the day of great things, that thou alone would be glorified. Hear us now, do forgive us our many sins, even of this day and this past week. Hear our prayers now, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.